If we take the Eucharist seriously, we will follow the example of Jesus at the Last Supper. We will wash one another's feet. We will serve one another. We will be attentive to the needs of others. We will treat with each other with respect. And here again I'm reminded of the words of Mother Teresa, that the Christ in me may recognize the Christ in you, and that the Christ in you may recognize the Christ in me. And the Catholic Catechism says, the Eucharist commits us to the poor. In other words, the Eucharist is calling us to action, to receive in truth the body and blood of Christ given up for us. We must recognize Christ in the poorest, and we must also strive to change unjust structures. But of course, here when we speak about the poor, we're not just speaking about the materially poor. We're also speaking about spiritual poverty. We're speaking about people who are experiencing the poverty of loneliness and isolation. We're speaking about the elderly. We're speaking about the people on the fringes and the margins. Here, it's important for us to listen to the cry of the heart, to the loneliness and to the isolation. As far as I'm concerned, Archbishop Van Thuyn is a model of Christian hope. Isolation, darkness and brutality saturated his prison life. In one afternoon, he went from being an archbishop to a mere prisoner. Instead of viewing his life as useless, empowered with the strength of the Eucharist, he chose to see his imprisonment as Christ's gift to him. And he wrote the following during his imprisonment. I accept my cross and I plant it with my own two hands in my heart. If you were to permit me to choose, I would change nothing, because you are with me. I am no longer afraid. I have understood. I am following you in your passion and in your resurrection. So here again, the Eucharist was very much alive for him, and he realized that he was definitely walking in the footsteps of Christ, uniting his whole life, his pain, his suffering, isolation, loneliness, nailing himself to the cross with Christ. And in nailing himself to the cross with Christ, a transformation was taking place in his life. In other words, he was experiencing resurrection. And while in prison, he literally had nothing to give to his diocese, to his faithful, to the people out there. He could not give his time, energy, or advice. He became like the widow from the gospel, who only gave 2 copper coins. However, like the widow, he also gave all he had. He offered his emptiness and suffering as a prayer to God the Father. And during his imprisonment, he learned to no longer place his hope in his works, but to place his hope in accepting God's plan for him. So I suppose it's true to say that one message that came home to him in a very clear and in a very powerful way was this: that doing is not always the important thing. It's more important to be. And also a realization that time spent in prayer is absolutely essential. And time spent in prayer is not wasted. When it comes to choosing, if anything should go, it is activity. And everything we think and say and do should flow out of prayer. And in our society today, we have fallen into what I'd call the heresy of activity, where we feel we must be doing things, and we're only valued if we're doing things. And that's the temptation with the laity, but it's also the temptation with the clergy, because the pressure is on nowadays, especially when you have priests, elderly priests, looking after 2 and 3 parishes. And very often the laity, they expect the same service from one elderly priest that maybe 5 or 6 served in the past. We have to learn to say no. We have to prioritize, and we will learn how to prioritize on our knees in prayer. So prayer is the priority. Spending time in the presence of Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament and allowing ourselves to be inspired and guided on our knees. And then the time that is spent in prayer will ensure that our activity is more effective. I think we can learn a lot from what went on in that prison. It's very obvious that God was at work in a very powerful way, in spite of the darkness, the isolation, the loneliness. He was at work there in the darkness. There was a great outpouring of love in that prison. And when the prison guards asked him if he felt resentment towards them for his imprisonment, he only assured them of his concern and love for them. His love was both bewildering and contagious. We too will feel loved if we allow that deep friendship between God and each one of us to develop. But like plants, if that friendship is to grow and flourish, the conditions must be right. God shows us the conditions that are necessary, namely privacy, solitude, stillness, quiet, and listening. Just as a plant needs the balance between sunshine and rain, so too we need the balance of space as well as togetherness. So each of us allows ourselves a period of solitude that we need for any friendship to grow. We need the stillness, the quiet, the silence that is experienced in prayer. And like any lover, the Father speaks to us in the stillness of prayer, in the intimacy of quietness. We have to wait patiently in readiness for this experience and in complete trust of his love for us. In the first stage of growth, seeds thrive best in the dark. It is in the darkness of the soil that there is a lot of energy, a lot of activity, a lot of life, even though we don't see it. And the same is true very often when we are experiencing the aridity and the dryness and the darkness in prayer. Very often it is then that God is moving at his best. Very often it's the same when we settle down to prayer. Much of the time, nothing seems to be happening, but God is at work in a very special way in our lives, and eventually his light will shine and dispel the darkness. A Hungarian religious said, after the collapse of the Berlin Wall, that the only Bible read by the unchurched from a distance, so to speak, is the life of Christians. We can also add that we ourselves, our lives, are the only Eucharist on which the world of non-Christians can feed. It is when we live in communion with Christ and with one another that the presence of Jesus manifests itself and becomes operative in everyday existence.